ancient words.
If God saves you, say amen.
Amen.
If we showed what I used to be on the screen, I don't know if you'd run out the door. I heard this person say one time, a woman said to him, said, if you knew how I used to be, you know, you wouldn't want me coming to your church. And he said back, if you knew who I used to be, you wouldn't want to be here. Both of them, they said, have been saved by the grace of God. The Holy Bible, this thing we take so much for granted, people who tear out a page in certain countries and pass it around like a piece of bread. Like, can I see that? When you get through, can I read that? And they just want a page. We have the whole thing. And I'm guilty to say, you know, you got some of those parts of the Bible that you got to go like this because the pages are still stuck together. Tell the truth. You ever do that? It's like, okay, what is this? Habakkuk, you know. And you say, I don't know if I'm very good at it, so I just won't even start. Don't ever say that. Start reading. And this is not necessarily the Bible speaking to you. This is Jesus himself. Do you remember what I told you last week? Check this out. The Word, if you want to be a follower of Jesus, he would say, here's an instruction manual. Oh, can I just follow you without reading this? I put together a swing set for my son Andy one time. I couldn't believe a guy wrote this in directions. He must have a sense of humor. Must be a master, Chris. In the directions, it had these words. If it's getting dark, don't start this project. Because it'll take you. That's what it actually had. Guy had a sense of humor. He said, if it's getting dark, it was dark. He said, if it's getting dark, don't start this project. Second thing, it takes us an hour and a half to put it together, and we're experts. It'll take you about three. It was getting dark. I went ahead and started. You know, that's just me, stubborn. How would you like to just swat it up? You know, when all else fails, what do they say? When all else fails, I just don't know. God, what do you want me to do about this? What do you want me to do? God's just not speaking to me. God's sort of like this kind of teacher. He's not going to tell you something that he's already what? Already told you right here. Is it okay for me to have an affair and smoke weed and get drunk? Check this out and you'll know my answers. Aren't you going to just tell me? Checking this out. And he wants to see if you're serious. That's why the Pharisees and Sadducees, he'd often trick them. He would say something, they'd turn around and walk off. The disciples come over. What do you mean by that seed and the farmer and throwing it? Since you've asked, let me tell you. He'll tell you if you come seeking him. It's those people that turn around and walk off, if they don't want to stay extra. Let's stay extra. Let's be a follower of the King. So what do you do with this thing called the Bible? Last week I started my series and did this. I want to show you an emphasis. This Bible, basic instructions before leaving Earth. This is it. You want to make sure, don't leave home without it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. If you don't know how to live, 2 Timothy 3:16 just now gives you the verse. Read this. Is there anything else? Yeah. For best results, follow the instructions. He's giving the instructions in here for so much. And it says, well, some things aren't just black and white. They're not just boom. But if you read this, you'll say, you know, that's what he's really telling me, isn't he? Yeah. It does not say in this Bible that your dress length should be right there or your hair should be a certain length. It doesn't really. But once you get to know God, it's just like, yeah, I know. And he sort of puts modesty into us, and he sort of puts a leading into us. And we only get that if we obey him. John 15:14, he told his disciples this. That's the same chapter he talks about, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Okay, try that on your own. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you love me, keep my commandments, he says. Next. The greatest visible evidence of the fear of God is obedience to God. If somebody looks and sees me obeying God, they'll believe in God. Did anybody who is already saved influence you to be saved? See what I mean? If I'm in obedience to God, like, why do you go to church? I was talking to somebody this week that said, it's almost like they didn't really think church attendance was that important. Do I really need to go? Well, Hebrews 10:26, forsake not. That means don't forsake or Don't give up. That's what forsaking is. Don't give up. Keep reading the verse. The gathering together or the assembling of the saints, as a matter of some is. Interpret that. Don't quit going to church. That's a command. Well, I don't, that ain't no well nothing. You know. Tell me, Russ, did they give you an option in the Rangers? Now, if you want to, you can wear this uniform. Whatever you want to. You want to wear a pink dress. You know, whatever you want to do. I'll just leave it up to you. Now, you will wear this, and you will be on time, and you will do what I say. If you don't, there's the door. Boy, y'all sure are strict. I found that most people like this. When I used to tell my football, basketball, whatever, I'd say, this is what we need to do. They'd say, thank you. I actually had a kid walk in the office one time and thank me for making him run sprints. I thought, he's putting me on there. I liked to ran him to death. They thought it was a track team. Pecked on the door. You're not coming in, sir? That's good, because if you hadn't said, sir, I'd have made you do 10 push-ups. Come on in. I just want to thank you for running.
Are you sure?
They said, yeah, the coach we had last year just said, go on, get out of here. He didn't care enough to discipline us, and you do. I can tell you care first day of practice. I said, well, I'm going to care for you more tomorrow. Yes, sir. He was my captain. Jesse Edgar Showalter. One of my best baseball players is Kevin Edgar Camper. Y'all sure y'all want to be on this team? Yes, sir. Had about 17 people at Craig County. I like to run them to death. And the varsity coach come down and says, "You got, we don't have people play at Craig, and you know you're gonna run them all." This way I am. Okay. I had two more people show up in the next couple of days. Can we be on this team? We've heard about you. Welcome aboard. Now you got to run for the sprints that you missed the last couple of days. I ended up with 21 on my team. I gained 4 after 2 days. Varsity was just jealous. I only had about 18 on there. Started pouring down rain one day. One of them looked at me and said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to keep practicing. Well, the varsity just went in. Are you on the varsity? No, sir. We'll keep practicing. So we kept practicing. I got in trouble for that. Varsity coach Mouse, you know, talked to me at the end of the day. He said, when we go in, y'all got to go in. Why? Because you make us what?
Look bad.
I'm going to make you look bad. That's why they're the team that we are. The few, the proud, the JV players. They gave me a plaque that said that to Coach Moser. The few, the proud, the JV team. I want him to do that one day. I want him to say, well done. Thou what? And I'll take it and give it back to him. Yes, sir. Be proud to be on this team. I don't really have any reasons for reading the Bible. You don't? There's a few. How about God tells us to? It's not an option. What's a command? It's just that. It's a command. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. Do I have to read it to study? It would probably help, yeah. How do you study without reading? 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God. It'll help you do this. If you fill yourself up with this, it's easier to say no to the devil. Psalms 119, 9, verses 9 and 11 says, wherewithal or how can a young man keep his way pure? By taking heed according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. If you got this in here, the devil is already at a deficit. He knows you're armed. Sin will keep you from the book, the book will keep you from sin. I've heard that old saying, and it seems like it's still true. The more you read, does that mean I'll be perfect? Nah, you'll just be able to fight a little bit better. It sheds light to our life. Psalms 119.05, thy word is a what? Lamp and the light to my path. Yes. How about this one? It equips us to live daily. 2 Timothy 3.17. Does anybody need a Bible, by the way?
Anybody need a Bible?
No? Okay.
You want those? I swear to you.
Anybody else? we're good.
2 Timothy, it's over.
Close to the end of the Bible. It's only got a few pages left. And here's this verse right here. 2 Timothy 3:17. Matter of fact, there's several verses. That's why I want us to read them. Paul had a young man named Timothy. And he brought Timothy aboard to be one of his followers. And he took him off to be in the missions. And he's like, here's what you need to do. Does anybody remember what Timothy's dad was? Was he from a certain background? He was a Greek. Well, Timothy hadn't been circumcised yet. He's a grown man because Greeks didn't think you did. Jewish thought you were unclean if you hadn't been. So Paul says to Timothy, let's just put this in order. If I would say, if I'm the boss, Chris, you'd be my young Timothy. I say, young Timothy, you want to go on and be on the mission field? He says, yes, sir. Okay, I need you to study the word. I got it. Need you to pack some clothes quickly. I got it. Need you to be circumcised. Hold it. What did you say? I never meant it. I know. But you see, the people we're going to reach will think you're unclean. I know it's not necessary for salvation, is it? No. Because see, the Jews used to, they just, in Moses' time, they had to have something that they did to make them feel safe. By the way, don't laugh at them now, because sometimes we in today's churches think we do too. We don't get circumcised necessarily. Guess what we do? We get baptized. Are you saved? I've been baptized. Didn't ask you that. Have you been saved? Have you received Christ as your Savior? Oh, I thought baptism did that. Baptism has nothing to do with getting saved. Thief on the cross, was he saved? Mm-hmm. Today you'll be with me in paradise. He wasn't baptized. So it's just an out show of what's happening inside. So we sort of have our own kind of way of copying them. Well, Timothy said, okay. And he did that. And now Paul's going to give a final charge to Timothy. Start reading in verse 10. You, however, know all about my teachings, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings. Which, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecution I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from them all. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and becoming deceived, but as for you, watch this, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have received it or learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. Look at that. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. This man's probably 40 years old and he grew up with a Bible in his hand. You see, he must have had a godly mama. I won't thank that too much. I'll be crying again. Who is his godly mama? His godly mama was Eunice. His grandmother was Lois. He grew up. I don't even read about Timothy's daddy, but he had to have one. But it's like I read later in some scriptures that, well, you had a good mom, you had a good grandma. They just probably grew up reading Bible stories. He says, you have heard the Holy Scriptures, known the Holy Scriptures from your infancy. Some of us can identify. Well, he said, well, I just grew up in church. I went to Sunday school, and I used to have Bible. And okay. Which, watch this, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. You'll learn how to get saved by reading this book. Through faith in Christ Jesus, all Scripture is God-breathed. You are holding God's breath in your hand. See, I just want us to realize, wow. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God, or woman of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. When you buy a car, they sometimes say, do you want these sunroof heated seats? What are those things called?
Options.
Reading the Bible is not an option. If you want to be thoroughly equipped, we got to read this. All Scripture is God-breathed. Can you imagine that? Several stories in the Bible. A woman came out with her son in the coffin, and Jesus stopped the coffin. brings it down, touches him. It was almost as though the guy gets up, gets out of the coffin. Lazarus comes forth. God's breath. And you open up this in the morning. God, man, you just breathed on me. How can we shut that? How can we not even pick it up? Oh. And I mean, it's like, God, I need something. And you read this, like, oh, that's me. He just breathed on me. And then you'll go throughout your day and they'll say something different about you. Well, what's the deal? You're whistling. And somebody asked me that at the end of my school day one time. I come out of the classroom whistling. I go, how do you do that? Why are you whistling after dealing with him all day? God's been breathing on me today. Really? It's free. You're having a gift on? Read it. I don't read that. I tried to read in Leviticus one time. Why do you pick the hardest book to begin with? And the basin shall be 8 cubits by 2 inches covered with, you know, it's just like, let me read you some. Jokin was the father of Amadad, Sepla, you just put it down. Why not give him another chance, and why not go over to read in John where it says, well, I'll show you what it says in John. Well, I haven't got to John. I do like what it says in 2 Timothy 3:15. Read that again for me. It is what? Hebrews 4:12 says this is alive and living. You can read Homer's Iliad. You can read Shakespeare. And it's something weird. It's like, it's almost like this is alive. It is. It's alive and quick and sharper than any what? Two-edged sword that will just cut right to the problem. And you can mention something. So, I'm pretty good. I don't have anything wrong. Yeah, I do. Oh, yeah. It'd be like you knowing that you got a weakness in gossiping. Let's just pretend. And I sit there and say, okay, let's open this up. And you read, let no unwholesome word come from your mouth. Boy, that was cutting. That's what he does. It's alive and living. It's like talking with Jesus. That's what. So John 1:14 says what? Well, let's look and see. The Word. John 1. In the beginning was the
Word.
And the
Word
was with God, and the
Word
was God. And the
Word
became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God, and Jesus took on flesh. Why did He have to come down? Because we didn't listen to all the other people God had sent. In Genesis, we got such people as Abraham, our father Abraham, talked about him last week. Abraham, you have this family lineage and it'll change. No, they don't. Good. You know. Or we have Moses to set people free. As a matter of fact, if you really go way back to the Adam and Eve, He handmade, and they didn't do what, and God just had Noah come along and started all over, and did that help? No, we just got a sinful nature. And on and on and on, since He started over, and then He sent Abraham, and then He sent Isaac, and then He sent Moses, and finally He sends His Son. By the way, it tells you in the Gospels that the rich, you know, the landowner sent out a servant, and they beat him up, sent out a servant. He said, finally, I'll send my what? So they'll listen to him, and they did what? They killed him. To parallel what God says, let me send my son, but you'll have no excuse. Well, if you'd sent your son, we'd listen to him. I did send my son, because my son became flesh and dwelt among us. So if you read this, you read this. So I can read about Jesus? Yeah, this one you read. So this is the written word, and that's the living word. Both are the word. Spent time with the word? Absolutely.
I'll be honest. I need to read this more. You say, well, you're the preacher. I'm just being honest. I spend time with the Word at the left a lot. I talk to him a lot. But I don't. He says, hey, just keep reading this. Okay. The Word. If we saturate ourselves where we're just soaked up, we're less likely to get burnt by the devil. Agreed? Because the devil come up to Jesus and said, cast the stones to bread. He's hungry 40 days. I'd be hungry. By the way, if you trace back in the Gospels, have you ever had a great, great day, you know, in the Lord? You just feel like I'm up the other thing, right? Next day, crash and burn. Anybody done that, or is that just me? Jesus was baptized by who? John. You think that was a great day? Somebody could have clipped that. And one of the disciples, hang on, Jesus, got that on the phone. Got it. Because God the Father spoke to God the Son and said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased, and the Holy Spirit in the form of the dove landed. We had a perfect picture of what? That's the Trinity right in front of you. People are just going like, yes, Jesus is getting baptized. Hallelujah. Tracing that gospel the next day, Jesus went into the wilderness and Satan tempts him. He's got a mountaintop experience and now he's getting tempted by the devil in the desert. Does that sound like you? And he's hungry after 40 days and the devil says, hey, cast those stones into bread. You can do that. You're God, aren't you? I'm surprised he didn't just smack him in the face. He answered him with the sharpest weapon he had. It has been said in the Word that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every what? Word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I like my favorite part of that little temptation scene there to the devil three or four times. Jesus says to Lazarus, get away. Leave me, Satan. And guess what Satan does? He has to. I wish I had a verse like that. Well, James 4, 8. 7 and 8 says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So he'll do to me what? Yeah, okay. Put up a fight against the devil. Sometimes when we're tempted, some of us just don't fight. And you say, oh, I could have put up a better battle than that. Let's start fighting better.
Stop. Learning's fun. Look at that boy. He just can't quit talking about it. Learning is fun. Ask Emily, learning is fun, right? Don't lie in your church. What kind of math you got this year? Algebra 2. Factoring trinomials and binomials. Don't you love math? Or do you? Learning is fun. You ever got an answer? Go, yes, I got it. Especially when it's the Bible. Again, it's just like a guy spinning a basketball on his hand. That doesn't mean he's a player, but if he's got that ball spinning, chances are he's had a ball in his hand. Well, if you know that the Bible's got 66 books, 39 are in the Old Testament, 27 are in the New, shortest verse in the Bible is Jesus wept. Where's that reference? John 11, 35, that's right. And John 11, 35 says, what's the longest verse in the Bible? Esther 8, 9. And does that make me say no? But if I can say that, people are like, man, you must like that Bible. Just know some things about it, and that'll give you opportunities. Of course, I hope we read it more than just for the little trivia things. We might actually think the Bible is what?
Cool.
Hey. You know, it's like, this is, let's continue about the Bible. Some odd stories. I told you this last week. A man whose hair weighed, 2 Samuel 14:26 says this man right here, little line going through the Bible. How much did his hair weigh? It weighed 200 shekels, which is equivalent to 2. I don't know if you've ever had 5 pounds of hair.
Not lately.
If you took the hair off Russ, Brian, and me, we might have 5 ounces of hair.
Maybe.
So I gave me a comb for my present on my birthday one time. I said, thanks, I'll never part with it. I look like Michael Landon off a Little House on the Prairie in high school. I don't know where all that hair went. God's just teaching me. But anyway, I've had some hair, by the way. You say, oh, that would be so glorious. No, this is Absalom. This Absalom was killed. He's on a horse running from his enemies and caught his
hair
in a tree. Jerked him off the horse. And people come back. You're making this too easy. So his glory was really his downfall. And I've done it. I put a brush in. He was leaving. It's so thick. This was thick. How about a man whose bed was, some of us would like this. How'd you like to sleep in that bed? 13 feet long is about 5 feet wide.
felt as a downy sheep. You know, just from all the other baby.
Odd stories. What else? I hope you saw last week that a boy who was born with a red thread around his hand in Genesis, if you went back and read that story, Perez means
what?
Breaking out. He was first. And they tied a red thread around his wrist and he brought his hand back in. And then his brother Zerah was born. Then his brother, who had the scarlet thread on his wrist, came out and he was named Zerah. Breaking out. He was first. Zerah was really first. Now, who was y'all? Y'all mom can argue about that. Mothers, I don't know. You having twins. Can you imagine having these boys in your womb? Wrestling match every day. This one came out first, but drew his hand back. So this is now how he's broken out. He named him Perez. Then his brother, who had the scarlet thread on his wrist, came out. He was named Zerah. So the man with the little baby with that. Woman saved by a red thread was this, Joshua. And that was Rahab the harlot. And then I reminded you of this. So it seems like red is a reoccurring theme. It seems like it's a red thread through the Bible. And often this red thread is Jesus. And I'll show you a story. This is a story of the test of Abraham. Who we mentioned the test of Abraham last week again, just reviewing the man. Abraham's like God. Isaac's like Jesus. Isaac carried a wood. Jesus carried his cross at Mount Moriah, which would later be the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Some years later, very close to Calvary. So Abraham promised that he and Isaac would return. Jesus promised that he would do the same. He's coming back one day. He said, well, that's an Old Testament story that I see Jesus in. Can I show you a red thread again? From Adam to Christ, you'll see this red thread. Here's the red thread today. He's like, where is it? That man, if you look real close, is Noah. There's the animals. But here's what, better view of the boat. If you look at that boat, being a wood maker, a carver, what's that boat look like? See, he's a Moser. He's smart. It is a coffin. Really? Shaped and based on the coffins of old. Really? Why don't you put them in a coffin? Because you got to die to self to get on. How's that coffin like Jesus? He had to die to let us get on board. Oh. Here's the coffin. But first, some questions about Noah. Questions about the ark, probably you've wondered. What kind of lights did they have on Noah's ark? Floodlights. Did they play cards on Noah's ark? No, because Noah always sitting on the deck. I need to go get Rachel. How much fishing did they do off Noah's ark? How much could you do? There's only two worms. We know that the animals came in the ark two by two, but how did the insects come in the ark? Two of the worms came in pairs. Okay, moving right along. God gives illustrations all through the Bible about salvation in Jesus. I believe one of the best pictures of salvation is the story of Noah's Ark. Would you find Noah's Ark? It's in Genesis. Matter of fact, if you find Noah's Ark, you better tell a lot of people. Because they've been looking for it for a long time. A group of Liberty students, or well, at least a Liberty, this is Genesis chapter 6. I watched a movie a couple weeks ago about the finding of the Ark, and they went and they did some drilling, and they brought out some that they said it was looking like petroleum based, and they said I think that must be what was the Ark coated with? Pitch, and it was sort of like a tarry substance. They thought that was it, but they couldn't bring up wood fiber, so they still don't know for sure. But the flood. Let's read
chapter 6, verse 1. When the men began to increase in number on the earth, and the daughters were born to them, the sons of God, so if the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit will not contend. And King James says, my spirit will not let you strive with man forever. For he is mortal, his days will be 120 years. That right there just now told you. Go down to verse 9. This is the account of Noah. Noah's going to build an ark for 120 years. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. You say, well, okay, he's blameless among the people of his time. He walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Let's go back to Noah was a righteous man. Go back to verse 5. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind out, whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a righteous man. You ever started a project only to start over? You say, somebody says, can you help me with this bookcase, old great carpenter? And you go, I think it'd probably be better if we just did what? I don't think I can correct the mistakes that you've gotten there. God, instead of obeying, they do everything but obeying. By the way, did they do a lot better after the flood? No, over in chapter 11, they started the Tower of Babel, and they were trying to build a tower to heaven. Leave it to man. Chapter 14, when Abraham finally comes on the scene, becomes Father Abraham. But let's talk about the flood. Now, the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence, and God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said, no, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. If you've ever heard people say stuff so vile, you say, how could they act like it? I mean, we're all sinners. But sometimes you think, wow, to think nothing of the Saddam Husseins and the kind of people that would, the Hitlers, that'll take Jews and cram 6 million of them in my gas chamber and turn the gas on, and then to get the bodies, didn't want to bury them. So what do? Just pile them up, burn them. Treat them like trash. That's vile. Can you imagine about everybody on earth being a Hitler? Saddam Hussein, Jeffrey Dahmer. Can you imagine everybody being like that? If this was a prison, where would we be? Where would we be talking to people? This is the solitary what? Because you guys are dangerous. There's a guy, Giles, I didn't grow up with him. I just went in a court and sat next to him one time. And his shoulders about half, you know, a foot on both sides of that chair. He was on trial that day for bank robbery. He was on trial that day for just taking a gun and shooting somebody in the head because he wouldn't do what he says. His daddy was a policeman in Giles. He said he went into the service. He'd been kicked around all his life, picked on, went into service, came back out, and they put him in Bland correctional form. He tore the sink off the wall and threw it against the bars. Do you think he was in solitary confinement? He'd have to be. Why? He'd kill the person in the cell with him. Can you imagine a world feel like that? And God says, I've had it with you all. Noah, I've got a plan. I want to save you because you're trusting in me. Can you see his plan of salvation? Here's what my plan is. Why didn't he just pluck Noah out? Because God is gracious. He's not in 2 Peter. It says, where is your God? Basically, the world will ask us. And God says, 2 Peter writes, that God's not a liar. He's going to show up. He's just long-suffering. He's just patient, waiting for people to come to him. But when he does show up, yeah. 120 years, I guarantee you. Think he had some scoffers? Hey, where's his water at? It had never rained up until that time. Moisture grew up while heavy dew would water the plants. And so Noah says, it's going to rain. They laughed in his face. God provided the way to save Noah and his family the same way he provided Jesus as the way to us. But John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Anyone who comes to the Father, you know, he's got to come through me. So Jesus is the ark. Does that make sense? Keep reading. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for the people on earth had crept away. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all the people, for the earth filled with violence. Because of them, I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make for yourself an ark of cypress, supposed to be the best kind of wood. Some King James says calls it gopher wood, cypress wood. Make rooms in it. By the way, I got to jump. See, just excited when you read this. So John 14:1, I probably use this as part of my sermon on Monday. Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For my Father's house are many
mansions.
There it says in the original Greek, it was really saying rooms. It's almost like God's house is huge and in it's lots of rooms. Guess what he puts in the ark? Lots of rooms. This is heaven. Really? That's what it reminds me of. I'm going to put an end to it. Make yourself an ark of cypress room. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. Now, I've got to tell you something about the word pitch. I looked it up and I think pitch was used something like 400 times out of about 310 times or something. It could really be translated as the word, it's haika or something. Sorry, I'm no Greek scholar. But it was like, it could be translated atonement or like covering. Jesus is called our covering or atonement. Jesus says, when I leave, I'll give you a comforter who is the what? Holy Spirit. He's really coating that ark with the what? So like the Holy Spirit. Does water get in? If I think of these verses, I'll leave again. John chapter 10, those who lack assurance of salvation, listen to this. In John chapter 10, he said, God will put you in my hand, and I am in the Father's hand. You're in my hand, I'm in God's hand, and he says, and nothing, no one, nobody can do what? Pluck you out of my hand. You are sealed. Holy Spirit will seal you into the day of redemption. Nobody can get you. So I'm sort of like in a room, safe and sound, and who's the guard? Jesus. You think anybody's going to get into me? The only way Satan can get to me is if I open the door. Don't open the door. Stay in there. Holy Spirit has sealed me into the day of redemption. No one's able to pluck you out of God's hands. I love that verse because I've struggled with that for a while. Now, God, did I get lost this week? Y'all maybe never had any of those times, but the devil tries to, oh, you've sinned too much now. God's going to unsave you. How stupid. If God saves you, he's going to keep you saved. So I like it in the fact that I'm sealed into the day of redemption. God provided the way to save Noah. God had Noah apply pitch to the inside and ark, inside and out. That's sort of like the Holy Spirit being sealed. And I got to throw this in. I heard this from Adrian Rogers. He said, do you think Noah ever fell down inside that ark? Think of all the animals. Oh, wow, what was that? Okay, Shem, Ham, Japheth. Y'all need to get on that really quick. Had three sons, three wives for them, and he and Mrs. Noah. Eight people in the ark. Now, did the waves hit? Yep. Did the storm hit? Yep. Did Noah ever fall down from going like this? Yes. Adrian Rogers made it. He said, do you ever think Noah fell down? I thought that was a good point in it, and it made me realize this. Will you fall down? Brown, will you fall down today? But you'll get up. And will you fall down, Virginia? But you're still safe in the heart. Still safe in Jesus. That'll bring you comfort. So, Edgar, if you sin, still in the ark. I love that. See, Noah falls down. Somebody helps him up. He's still in the ark. And the storms of life are just battering him and throwing him all over the place. By the way, there's no doors or windows. Like Chris said, it's a coffin. You die to self when you become a Christian. He did put a window up the top. Isn't that cool? So Noah would have to do what? Isn't that cool? Edgar, I'm going to put you in my ark. Okay, that ark's really called Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and I want you to look up. Wow. So this ark is Jesus. Yeah. It's a Jesus in the Old Testament that we call our Savior today. Noah has to enter. Let's keep reading. What room? 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Make a roof for it and finish your ark to within 18 inches of the top. Wish God would be more exact with these directions here. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has breath of life. Just think, the breath of life God breathed is going to be gone from. Everything on earth will perish, but I will establish my covenant with you, Abrahamic covenant. You'll enter the ark, you and your sons, your wife and your sons, wives with you. You're to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, every kind of animal, every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. God's got a plan. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. He didn't say, well, what about this flood? What about this rain? It's never rained before. Verse chapter 7, it hits. Then the Lord said to Noah, you got all this done? Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in the generation. Now go into the ark. You're righteous. We are in Christ when we're righteous. We've been made righteous because of him. Takes him. It says, take with you seven of every kind of clean animal. What's that for? They're going to even take animals for sacrificing. Noah did all that God commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters came on the earth. And say so they put them all on the ark. And after getting all on the ark, the floodwaters came. And they continued to come until the ark was lifted off. I'm going to give you a verse. Would you look in chapter 7, verse 16? Verse 16, the animals going in were male and female of every living kind, as God had commanded Noah. Last part of this verse, then the Lord what?
Shut the door.
Noah didn't shut the door. God did. And just as in today's time, God might very well say today, angels, he looks at his son Jesus, seated at his father's right hand, it's time to shut the door. And the angels like, this is it? Could be. Could happen in the next 20 minutes. Could happen right now. Really? Now we're raptured away in a moment. And the tribulation starts and the end is near. God shut that door. People on the outside, I guarantee you, were laughing. Shut it. We don't care. Could have been a door. If I could have shut it, I'd have probably let people in. You would too. Now the water come and people are, well, maybe this thing will amount well. I don't. The boat starts to lift up and now the boat is actually, we've lifted something the size of a football and a half field of lifting up and now the water is showing. I guarantee there's bound to be somebody doing, we believe you now. Can I let them in? I shut the door. They had their opportunity. Well, that's sort of cold. They've rejected God for how long? 120 years? And God's impatient? I don't think so. I've waited on you a century. Can I come in now? You had your opportunity. The door is shut. It's got to be an ending time sometime. God shuts the door. The waters take off. God had Noah apply pitch to the ark. It's like us being sealed. God punished sin the same way you will punish it in their day. Number 5. God's power was displayed when the flood waters came. They lifted the ark off. It finally landed on Mount Ararat. And when he kept putting out a bird, when the dove returned one time to Nineveh, and there was in his beak a freshly plucked olive leaf, so Noah knew that the water had receded. Well, how long did the water stay on the earth? 150 days. Roughly 6 months. You think it rains a lot. Rained. When it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, but then when it quit raining, the water stayed for 150 days. Well, if you say 30 days, would that be like 5 months? Well, actually, I've seen it different months for a Jewish calendar, but even at that, can you imagine water being around for 5 to 6 months? Whew. Think you'd get tired of seeing water. Chapter 8 says, but God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and livestock, and we're going to start life over again. Do you see Jesus in the story? God gave a promise to Noah now. When it finally landed, he says, Noah, I will not destroy anything like this again. What's the promise?
Rainbow.
God put a rainbow in the sky. Because maybe Noah said, God, is that some more rain? It's like, you're not going to do this again, are you?
No, I'll never do it again. Never will the earth be destroyed by a flood. God gives us a promise to give us peace. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You can't sin where I won't forgive you. I'll take your sins and put them in the sea of my forgetfulness. I'll put it as far as east is to west will be your sins. Your lawless acts I will remember no more. Well, how come I don't have peace? Because you keep bringing it up. God doesn't. If you were my son, you came home and said, I hate to tell you, Dad, I failed a math test. I also broke a window out, shot the principal, and stole a car. Wow. And we somehow worked through all those difficulties. And 2 years later, I think, you know I love you. Sure wish I hadn't stole that car. Why? You're going to dig up something 2 years ago? Do we do that to God sometimes? Absolutely. Lord, I sure am an awful rotten sinner. I know, but I've forgiven you. Well, and we keep bringing it up. God says, quit doing that. Let me have just peace. Let you have peace. It's okay. Now, I didn't say take him for granted. Just take him at his word. I will forgive you. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and to cleanse us. And though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though our sins be as crimson, they shall be white as snow. It's one of my favorite verses. I just picture you falling snow. Wow. God gives me a promise. He'll keep me safe. Now, I want you to think of this. And when you think this. Think of this ark and think of Jesus next time you read it. And that ark is, Chris gave me the correct answer. That ark looks like a coffin. It was based really on the Jewish times of just lifting this lid off and putting something dead inside. You say, well, Noah and them weren't dead. No, but we're going to put you in. And Noah and his family had to die to self to walk into the ark. God shuts the door. We're now sealed into the day of redemption. So the ark was built like a coffin so that we die to self and enter Jesus. And Jesus had to die for us in order to give us that opportunity to be saved. So he was like in the coffin, yeah. But wouldn't it be cool when you walk into that, he seals it, God shuts the door, you're a little bit scared, but you're in Jesus. And life will throw storms at you, but you're in Jesus. And the law, ooh, what was that? We're in Jesus. And you might fall down, but you're in Jesus. And so we're going to be safe and secure until God gives us rest. You just got to keep dying to yourself. Well, what if I fall down in the ark? It's all right. You just get back up. You're still saved. You just need to be forgiven. We are in Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. It is Jesus that we know God. It is in Jesus that we know God the Father. Is it not true that when we come to Him, we are closed in to look up the way that we look into heaven through Jesus Christ, the ark of safety? And this is a caulking gun, and sometimes people seal things with this, with the silicone. So really, think of it this way. It's a sealer. And so the Holy Spirit's given to us. The ark keeps the judgment waters out. God will not punish us. Genesis 7:16, they went in, male and female. God shut the door. We are now sealed in Him. Nobody could open the door up. There wasn't no come back in there and get you. There was a window so Noah could look up. So read this in Ephesians right here. In Him you also trusted. You've trusted Christ after you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possessions of the praise of God. Bottom line, when Jesus calls me home, He'll keep me sealed. He'll keep me safe, just like Noah, Mrs. Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their three wives were kept safe. They couldn't drown. They couldn't, anything went wrong. They were sealed in that ark, just like we're sealed. Okay. So here's what we need to do. Consider these final words from Matthew 24. He said, that was the Old Testament. Look at this in the New Testament. But about that day or hour, no one knows what day Jesus is coming back. Could be the next morning. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of who? Jesus used this as a reference to preach to people. I thought that was so cool. So it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For the days before the flood, people were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Life is normal. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That's how it's going to be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding with one in a handmill. One will be taken, the other one left. Therefore, keep watch because you do not know what day your Lord will come.
But understand this, if the owner of the house had known what time the thief was coming, he would have kept watch. And would not have let his house be broken into. If people knew when Jesus was coming back, they'd probably start getting a riot. But you don't know what time he's getting home. So you better be right now. Pray with me.
Dear Jesus, just as in the days of Noah, you could be coming back. But Lord, I thank you that I'm sealed. You're my ark of safety. I am sealed in the ark. And the waters of this world just try to sweep against this ark, and they beat against me and you, but I'm safe in the ark. And I might even fall down while I'm walking in this ark, but I'll get back up. And that doesn't make me lost. No one can get in and get me. I love that I'm in your hand, the Father's hand. And they have to get through you and the Father to get to me. Jesus, today, you're that ark. You're that ark of safety. And I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit, just like that ark was sealed with pitch. But Jesus, I've got to be ready, because just as in the days of Noah, that ark surprised a lot of people. And then they suddenly wish they would have done something. Lord, today you give us that same presentation. Here we are. In the ark. Picture us in the ark and the waters are about to hit. And the world doesn't even pay any attention. They're still eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. Everything's another normal day. But you're going to come back. And it could be any moment. Then suddenly they wish they would enter the ark. Jesus, today, may we be more grateful than ever for you saving us. May we be grateful for this book that tells us how to live and how to help others come to know you and live. So would you bless us today as we close our time? Lord, just draw us close. Help us to be more grateful than ever for our salvation, that we're safe in the ark of safety. We're safe in the ark of Jesus. Speak to our hearts even now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me if you would. Sing a song.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
Dear Jesus, it's grace that saves us, grace that keeps us saved. And how precious did that grace appear the first day we came into your kingdom. The first day we come to know you. Lord, that was precious. Lord, help us not lose memory of that. That day still should be precious in our thoughts and in our hearts and our minds. Lord, this week, as I'm in that ark, bring that safety to me. Help me to know I'm safe. And when the devil tries to tempt, the devil often throws rocks at our ark. He tries to tempt us to do things wrong. Jesus, keep us safe from those tempting things. As you taught the disciples to pray, lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Because thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. So Jesus, today, wrap your arms around me and my friends. Take good care of us, I pray. In Jesus' name.